This model is of a 36 caliber. The unusual element of a Lamar pistol is that it also has a second central smoothbore barrel to take a 63 caliber scattergun round. The nose of the hammer is manually adjustable.
Big muzzle. Looks about 18 bore. Could be good. Got ammo for it, Doc?
Ample, Mr. Dix, thank you. I shall take it down to our quarters. Are we to try the gateway, or do we go for the great outdoors?
You haven't found anything to help operate that fire-blasted gateway, Doc?
Only what I knew already.
There it was again. The peculiar suggestion that Doc Tanner had somehow been around these redoubts before the chill, which was clearly impossible. That was 100 years ago. Doc might be a muddled old fool most of the time, but he wasn't that old. You could lay an ace on the line about that. Ryan saw the same question on JB's lips.
So how do you know that, Doc?
I'm not too...
He stopped speaking, looking up beyond Ryan's head into the dark shadows that clung to the corners of the high room beyond one of the narrow obslits.
There is a vid camera up there, moving to watch us. I fear that the Keeper will know we have intruded into his sanctum sanctorum.
His what?
Guess Doc means we've pissed in Quinn's best pot. We should go.
Doc, you go. Take as much ammo as you can carry. Tell the others to keep to the dorm. Ryan, come with me. There's something you have to see.
Doc holstered his Lama and shuffled off, the tip of his sword stick rapping on the floor. Ryan followed JB through a smaller arch into yet another gallery of weapons. There it was, complete with ammo of all sorts, including rounds of tracer, and a thin booklet giving a full account of the gun and how to strip and service it.
I'll be a bastard mutie's uncle. That's the blaster for me. What about the others?
No time. They've got what they got. You take this. I'll carry as much ammo as I can. Let's go.
It was a rectangle of metal with a night scope on the top and a pistol grip butt and trigger on the bottom, and was unlike any other weapon that Ryan had ever seen. The name was on the side, just below the sight. Heckler & Koch, Model G-12, recoilless rifle. The outside of the book gave the main facts, and they were amazing. It fired single shot like any ordinary rifle. On continuous fire, it worked at 600 rounds per minute. But in three-shot bursts, it fired at over 2,000 rounds a minute, a staggering rate. The other innovation was that the 4.7mm cartridges were caseless, which meant that it could carry a much greater supply of ammo than with a conventional weapon. Flicking through the manual, Ryan's eye was caught by several facts he wanted to study at greater leisure. But right now, with the vids recording his every move, it would be smart to leave. He snatched the gun, nearly dropping it because of the film of oil that still covered it, filled his coat pockets with mixed ammo, and quickly followed the disappearing figure of J.B. Dix.
The Bing Hunk called Joe just got himself iced.
Okie, her mouthful of donut, was watching yet another old police serial, Hill Street Blues. Ryan was lying on his narrow bed, perusing the arms manual for his new gun, occasionally helping himself from a bag of multicolored sugary sweets called jelly beans that Christy had found. Finn and Hennings were playing a noisy vid game called Klingon Blasters. Hun was stretched out on her bed, running her fingers through her green hair, listening to some music called Soul on her headphones. Doc was lying on his own bed, eyes closed, chest moving regularly in sleep. JB was muttering to himself as he tried to persuade one of the microwaves to disgorge several cheese-filled portions of chicken breast.
Yeah! I'm the Klingon expert, you stoop!
Fucking Klingons. Next time we'll play for creds.
Christy, sitting by Ryan, was brushing her long flaming hair, allowing it to spread in fiery waves across her shoulders.
So tell me about your new toy.
A 50-shot mag on this beauty. Doesn't tumble like the 556 does. Probably won't do the same damage, but I figure it's better for... Well, look who we got here.
Everyone turned except Hun, who was deafened by her own music. Standing at the door was the Keeper, paying them a visit. Quint was flanked by his two wives, Rachel grinning toothlessly on his left, Lori a couple of paces behind on the right. All three of them were holding their MP5 SD2 silenced submachine guns under their arms in a casual, unthreatening way. Ryan immediately began to feel concern. Not one of his people actually had easy access to a loaded blaster. Indeed, Hun, eyes closed, humming away to herself, still hadn't even seen the visitors. Quint's deep-set eyes were rheumy, red-rimmed, and his straggly beard was stained with some sort of sticky oil, but the old man was nodding and smiling. He stopped about 20 paces from them.
Keeper says greetings to our guests. First guest in a long day, saving those that sleeps down below. Sleeps the long sleep as ordered by the keeper, don't they, my dear?
Rachel nodded like a child's doll. Ryan stood by his bed, signaling behind his back with his fingers, warning the others that he didn't like the course things were taking, warning them to be as ready as they could, without actually taking any provocative action.
Glad you've come, Keeper Quint.
The Keeper comes and goes when he wishes. When are you going?
Day after tomorrow.
Eh?
He said they're gone day after next, Quint.
Keeper says maybe. Maybe they will, and maybe they won't.
Ryan Cotter's eye was caught by the young girl, Lori. Standing just behind the old man, who was also her husband, her mouth kept opening and closing, as though she was about to faint. In the quiet, Ryan heard her spurs tinkling.
We go when we please, old man.
Don't you speak to my brother like that, you glass-eyed shitter.
Brother? Thought he was your husband.
Ah, you clever fat prick. He is. Brother, husband, I'm his wife.
Then, Ryan pointed to Lori.
Ah, that dummy. She's his daughter's daughter. Don't have the brains of a frozen pisshole.
For a few moments, everyone was silent, trying to assess the situation. Hun broke the stillness by getting up from her bed, starting to dance to the music. But she suddenly saw Quint and the others in their frozen tableau.
What the fuck's going on?
She pulled off the earphones, but they could all still hear the shrill, tinny music.
Keeper says you've been wicked. Keeper says you've been to see the place where death lives.
His voice was becoming louder and more querulous.